6667.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
The worship of the tithe. In other words, tithing unto God should be viewed, should be understood as worship, and not just, again, tossing something in an offering or just putting some money down into an envelope grudgingly. Preacher always talking about money. Somebody say amen. But rather taking on the perspective of it being our worship, our honor unto God. So much of our life can be out of perspective. Sometimes trials are simply because you don't see things like God is seeing them. Or your perspective is not a biblical perspective. Joseph began to understand that toward the time that God was about to exalt him. He said to his brothers, "What you meant for evil, I understand now that God meant that for good." His perspective had changed. He saw the hand of God. Well, we're in this series on God's financial plan, and I want you to go with me, if you will, to the book of Malachi once again, chapter 3. The book of Malachi, chapter 3. And we're going to start simply at verse number 10. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me herewith." I like that part. God says, "Bring it and prove me. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Okay, we've established and we will continue to establish that not only as fact, but as principle that governs our life. Tithing is God's way of financing his kingdom on earth. That's the first statement I want to share with you, that tithing is God's way of financing his kingdom here in the earth. Tithing is God's system of economics, his system of economics. You know, we have taxation, we have, you know, all kind of stuff that goes on in the system of the world. Amen? If you're working for the man, or if you are legally working, then every time you get paid, something's taken off the top. I said, if it's legal. Or if you don't take it off the top come April, you better have made out a nice check to pay to Uncle Sam. Because Uncle Sam's going to get his. Is that right? The system of the world, they're going to take it. You know, God with Israel never established or never condoned interest. That's the system of the world. You know, you pay high interest rates. And Nehemiah, what Nehemiah rebuked is that the nobles that were loaning people things, they were charging them interest. God, that was never God's plan. As a matter of fact, God had what you call the Jubilee. And of course, on the seventh day, the Sabbath, you were to rest. See, because people are so tied up in the system, they never rest. Got to go make that dollar. I owe. Off to work I go. You know, they're tied up. They're wrapped up. They're hog tied. They can't stop working. Can't do it because they owe. See, that was never God's plan. God's plan was every 7 years that the land had to rest. On the seventh day, you were to rest. That's why a lot of times there's sickness, infirmity, dysfunctional family relations. All of that stuff stemming from breaking or neglecting the standards that God set. Even the medicinal food laws, let's be honest. Certain things in the Bible that God spoke to Israel that they should stay away from. And that's why the Hebrew boys, after 10 days of testing, they and Daniel were fatter and fairer than all the other boys that were eating the stuff that God didn't condone. That is also why they progressed. They were promoted. They were under the discipline. Let me go here right quick. Because today, in today's world of anarchy and rebellion, even some, not all, but some in the church see discipline as bondage. Say amen real loud.
Amen.
Now, if that's not you, you ought to be able to say amen real loud.
Amen.
I said some see any type of discipline as being bondage and not grace. Your perspective is way off. Any leader, anybody that's going to lead, the first thing you have to have is some discipline. You can't lead people you have no discipline. And the greatest discipline you have to have is self-discipline. How are you going to lead someone when you're not disciplined? You tell them to be there on time and you ain't never on time. You tell them to give and you don't give. You's a hypocrite. Amen. That's what a hypocrite is. A theatric. It has to do with theatrics. Playing a part that's not really you. It's not a bad word unless you're trying to deceive somebody. It has to do with theatrics. Playing parts. Amen. So, tithing is a system of economics. Tithing underwrites and supports the ministry costs of the local church.
Amen.
Amen. You know, some leaders will be afraid, and I'm not tooting the horn or anything about myself, because I know others that are strong on the standards of the word. But there are some who won't ever talk to you about tithe, won't ever touch your pocketbook or your wallet or anything else because they are afraid that people will walk away from them. Well, if that is the case, those are the people you need to walk away. Amen. Because God is building a house. He's building an army. You have to understand, the church is not a hospital.
Amen.
Say amen real loud.
Amen.
See, a hospital constantly has people in it that are sick.
Amen.
See, but it's not a hospital because if you are sick, you should be made well.
Amen.
We are like the host of the Lord. We are his army. We are his battle axe. If a person gets wounded on the battlefield, they don't just keep him wounded out there. They ship him off to a hospital to get well, time to recover. Then they bring him back to the battlefield. We are here in a warfare. Yes, you can be healed. Healing is the children's bread. But it's not somewhere where you just stay and stay sick. Our focus is not that. Our focus is expanding, extending, pushing forward the kingdom. Papa Jonathan David told of a dream years ago where he was in a battle. He was in a foxhole and he was shooting, and the enemy was shooting at him. And he reared up to shoot at the enemy and he got hit. And he fell into the foxhole and he was bleeding. And he said, "Lord, I've been hit." And the Lord said, "Keep fighting." He said, "But Lord, I'm hit." He said, "Keep fighting." So he peeped up out of the foxhole and the enemy was crawling towards him. The Lord said, "Keep fighting." And so he kept shooting and he went to crawl out of the foxhole. And as he started moving toward the enemy, the wound started to heal. How profound is that? A lot of people just want to take time out and check out. But God says, if you keep moving, if you're not, don't stop fighting. If you keep on purpose. It's like the lepers when he said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And he says, as they went, they were healed. And one of them was had the state of mind to turn around. He saw he had fingers now. His ears had returned. He ran back to tell the Lord, thank you. And the Lord said, were there not 10 and only one return? And he said, not only are you healed, be thou made whole. See, your wholeness doesn't come from you checking out. It comes from you staying in the fight. Amen. Say amen real loud. Amen. It was never God's plan for us to have his work financed through bake sales, garage sales, car washes, rummage sales, all that. All of that now, understand, all that has its place. But that is not God's financial plan for his house. That could be for the youth ministry, the basketball team, to raise some funding, or some other committee to raise some funding for a purpose, for whatever they might want to do. But it is not God's plan for his house. His economic system is tithe and offering. See, you have to understand that there's something supernatural that comes into play when we obey the word. We are not left to natural means, because something divine begins to touch. When the Lord told the disciples, what do we have here? Have the multitude sit down. We're going to feed them. He said, Lord, if we went and bought all the fish, all the bread, we wouldn't have enough. He said, but what do we have? A little boy volunteered his lunch. Remember me talking about how many of the 20,000, 5,000 robust brothers at least in the 20,000, how many of them took their lunch and hid it? The disciples going among the people saying, you got any food? You got any lunch? Because see, they were in a desert place. You know, in a desert place, what you think about is what you got. I ain't got but a little to last, and I don't know how long this gonna last. But see, God, when stuff is put in his hand, when you put it in the master's hand, you invoke heaven. You cause heaven to get involved. That little boy who probably didn't know any better just was excited. And see, that's why we must become as little children. Here's my lunch. The disciples probably said, okay, all right. He's just excited. The Lord said, it's enough, because the boy put it in his hand.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.